there's something that can get a hold of you that won't ever let you go. I don't want no treatment for this. I don't want no rehab for this. Because I don't want to let go of it. Because one day I got a hold of it. And I've never been the same. Let's sing it again. Well, something got a hold of me. I said something got a hold of me. I went to a meeting one night and my heart wasn't right. But something got a hold of me.
Dedicate a song
about now. Ooh, I can hear now. All right, good to have everybody this morning. Excited about today's service. We got five preachers going to come and minister this morning. I don't even know if you call that a tag team or a Royal Rumble or what. And I think, if I ain't mistaken, it's maybe Dave, and then Ray, then me, then Ted, and then Patrick, I think, is the order. I think. All I know is I'm in the middle. So we're going to be talking to you about unity this morning. Everybody's going to get maybe around 10 minutes, give or take. We ain't going to put the buzzer on anybody, but we're sort of telling everybody maybe take around 10 minutes. And so looking forward to that. Should be something different and unique. And I know I used to tag team what they call tag team preach, and used to do a little bit different than back when I done it. You like I and they always had me go second for some reason, and you didn't know what whoever was preaching on in the beginning. You just had to, whatever they preached on, you had to get up and go with it. And so but today we sort of picked a theme on unity, which is fitting with all the stuff that we got going on in the community and unity, and so much sort of pointing toward that way, and excited about all those things. And I'm going to open up this morning with a few announcements, and we want the ushers to come if they would, and we're going to wait on you for your tithe and offering this morning. And let me say that we appreciate your giving, and then as they wait on you for your tithe and offering, we'll go over a few announcements that we have this morning. But if everybody could just bow your heads just for a moment. Father, we're so grateful, Lord, and thankful, God, for this another opportunity to be in your house once again. Thankful, Lord, for all those that are here this morning to hear the word of God, to worship you in spirit and in truth. We thank you, Lord, for the tithe and the offering that we're going to collect, Lord, that it could be used for the uplift and build of your kingdom. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. 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 All right, as they wait on you for your tithe and offering this morning, want to make a quick announcement or two. So starting, I think it's November 16th this year, going through the 21st, 22nd, is the community revival, just like we had last year, the week before Thanksgiving. And I've had a couple of questions and messages on Facebook about why ain't we in the community revival. Everybody thought we'd done something wrong, or they blackballed us or something there. They was like, why ain't we in the community revival? And we are, but when we met this time, there was actually more churches, more pastors, preachers, what have you, that were involved than what we had nights. And so anybody knows me knows that I'm going to prefer everybody else before us. And so I said, look, y'all go to the other churches and we'll follow you. You don't have to come to Mallory. I don't have to preach. We just want to be a part of it. And so when you see that schedule, don't think we're not a part of it. As a matter of fact, I want us to outdo everybody if we can with our attendance, and let them know that just because they're not coming here doesn't mean we're not going to support them in the revival. Because I believe that's the way it should be, is to prefer your brother before yourself. And so that's going to start November 16th, and we got that schedule online on Facebook, and so we want you to come out and support that as much as you possibly can. So many great things going on in the community. I think Patrick sort of he called me and told me, and I wanted him to sort of let everybody know in the Helping Hands group there, and he did. And I'm going to brag on the Lord just a minute, Patrick, for obeying the Lord. He went into the church, into the school Friday, into the little theater, and I think they had 75 show up, and 10 gave their heart to the Lord Friday. And He's gonna keep going back, and that's just an extension of this church. That's an extension of what God's doing, and it's just exciting to be able to be a part of the church during this time. And so we appreciate his obedience and want you to pray for him. And sort of just works really great with the community and how everybody's pulling together and not really worried about, you know, this or that and the name over the door. So encouraged about what's going on in the community, and excited about later on today. But right now we want to get Josh and Kayla, if they would, and the family up here. We're going to dedicate some more babies this morning, Elijah and Drew and all the family. Any family that wants to stand in with them can come as well. We took them in as members not long ago. Now we're going to dedicate the babies, and this family's just growing in spiritually just by leaps and bounds. When I come in this morning, everybody was talking about, how great he done this morning. They told me I might want to change the batteries in the mic. Said he probably blew the batteries up in the mic there. Said he can get cranking. And so everybody was talking about what a great job he done. And that takes more than just one individual doing that. That's a whole family of him being able to set aside time. And so they're growing exponentially in the Lord, and they want to dedicate their children today, Elijah and Drew. And so we're going to do that this morning. The Bible says that children are a gift from God. Psalms 127:3 says that sons are a heritage from the Lord, children a reward from him. And as believers, we are called to recognize that children belong first and foremost to God. God in his goodness gives children as gifts to parents. And they not only have the awesome responsibility of caring for this gift, but also the wonderful privilege of enjoying the gift. Because children belong to God and are given by grace as gifts to parents, it's only proper and appropriate that children be dedicated back to God. We are told in 1 Samuel Chapter 1, that Hannah presented her son Samuel to the Lord. In Luke 2:22, we read that Mary and Joseph brought their baby Jesus to the temple in Jerusalem in order to present him before the Lord. And in the same way, Josh and Caleb brought their two sons this morning to present them before the Lord. And so we're going to call your attention to some commands of God here recorded in the scripture. Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 4 through 7 says, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength. These commandments that I give to you today are to be upon your hearts. Impress them on their children. Talk about them when you sit at home and when you walk along the road, when you lie down and when you get up." Ephesians 6, 4 says, "Fathers, do not provoke your children to wrath. Instead, bringing them up in the training and the instruction of the Lord." God's instructions are plain. So, Josh and Caleb, we charge you to love God with every ounce and fiber of your energy and to teach your children to do the same. You'll model before them that Christian lifestyle that should point them to want to receive Christ as their Savior at the earliest age possible. And so by coming forward, do you declare your desire to dedicate yourselves and your children to the Lord? If so, please respond by saying, "We do." Amen. Having come freely, I ask now that you enter into the following commitment in the presence of God and this people. May you walk in the abundant life that Christ offers. As parents, vow by God's help in partnership with the church to provide these children a Christian home of love and peace, to raise them in the truth of our Lord's instruction and discipline, and encourage them to one day trust Jesus as Savior and Lord. All right, now we're going to ask the church to make this vow as well, and I love this part. So if you would, stand with me. We're asking the church to make a vow as well, and as I said last time we had a baby dedication, proverb says that, there's an old proverb that says it takes a village to raise a child. And, you know, being here some, I guess, almost 20 years now, and seeing children raised up in the church, and then you see them grow up and they go off and all those things, sort of makes you feel a little old, but at the same time, it sort of gives you a little bit of pleasure in seeing those children grow up here and knowing that they had the support of the church along the way. And it's not always easy. Sometimes it's rocky. Sometimes it's up and down. But it's good to know that children are being raised and reared not only by parents that fear God, but also a church that still believes in the power of God and the manifestation of God. And that's one thing I can say I'm so proud of this church about, is I believe if you raise children here, at some point your child is going to be introduced to, have a collision with, or have the opportunity at least to be involved in something where the Holy Spirit comes down and he is manifested, and that they know that he's real. And so I'm certainly proud of that as a church. And so the parents have this first responsibility to do that, but they also need the help of us and the community of believers that are around them. So now I'll ask you all this question. Being present in God's house today, do you hereby declare yourselves to be children of God because you trust in Jesus Christ alone for the forgiveness of sins and the gift of eternal life? If this is true, please respond by saying, "We do."
We do.
All right. Having come freely, I ask now that you make the following commitment to those who stand before you so that these children may walk in the abundant life that Christ offers. Do you vow by God's help to be faithful in your calling as members of the body of Christ, to help this family to be faithful to God, to help train, teach their children in the ways of the Lord so that they may one day trust them, so that they may one day trust him as Lord and Savior? If you accept this responsibility, please respond by saying, "We do."
We do.
All right. So the first thing we're going to do is an act of encouragement this morning, an acknowledgement that we've taken this family on to help them in any way that we can. We want you to raise your hand this way, extend your hand this way, and we're going to pray blessings and protection and have a hedge of protection around them. How many of you still believe in the power of prayer?
Amen.
Amen. So if you believe that, would you please extend your hand this way? And let's all pray this morning. Heavenly Father God, in the name of Jesus Christ, God, as we extend our hands, Lord, toward this family, Father, we ask, God, that you would touch and minister to them, God, that you would help Josh and Kayla, Lord, that you would help those that are around them, their support system, God, to be able to teach these children and bring them up in the fear and the admonition of the Lord God, to always lead the way, not just talk about the way or teach them the way in word, but in deed as well. Father, we ask God that you would make them a manifestation of your spirit and your joy, Lord. We thank you, Father, and praise you for all those things. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Amen. Give the Lord a hand clap of praise. Amen. Amen. And give them a hand clap of appreciation for being a part of the church and growing like they are. And I'm excited what God is going to do for them. Amen. Amen. I think there's some certificates somewhere here. You got them? Okay. Carl will get you certificates there in just a few minutes. All right. While everybody's standing, if you would, let's go ahead and get ready to worship the Lord this morning. Amen. With the choir. And after that, Dave is going to come and start us off. And then when he's about done, he's going to call on the next one. And then we're going to repeat that process. How many of you read the shampoo bottle and it says rinse and repeat? How many of you really do that? Ray does. It's a good thing. Ray needs all the washing on that mop he's got that he can do there. So, amen. We're going to rinse and repeat this morning. Amen. We're going to talk to you about unity, and we're going to let the guys sort of introduce that to you in just a few moments. But right now, let's worship the Lord with the choir.
Troubles vanish. of the
glorious day.
Thank you. And he heard, and he answered, I sought the Lord. And he heard, and he answered, I sought the Lord. And he heard, and he answered, that's why I trust him. That's why I
keep on doing what you do. Don't let up. Church, don't let up. If you need the Lord this morning, what we're going to talk about is we're going to talk about unity for just a few minutes. But where that unity begins is you being united with Christ, and that's what you see in this house this morning. If you have something that you need from the Lord, if there's something that is dealing with your heart, if there is something that God is dealing with you today, He is calling for you to come and be unified with Him. Yeah. Until you understand that Christ demands and requests and give His life for you so that you can be united with Him, nothing else will make sense about this, will it?
That's right.
If you need to pray, you come and pray. These altars are open. If you don't think we'll change the order for this and forget about what we have planned, you've lost your mind, because if God wants to have His way here today, That's exactly what we're going to do. Could someone say amen? Don't get quiet in God's house this morning for me. If you've got something in your heart tonight that you need God to deal with you and make a change in your heart this morning, He is here right now, and these altars are open. Amen?
Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Young person, step out from where you're at.
Yes.
Lord, I feel that. Young person, step out and pray for that person that you've got on your heart now. This is about being unified. We're going to talk about being a member of the body of Christ. Under Christ, that unity that I've just talked about for just a minute. We have to be tied with the head of the church, which is Christ, our high priest. In order for us to understand this whole thing, we have to understand that we are at that time joint heirs with Christ in everything that God offers and everything that God has put in a plan for you and I to be reconciled back to Him. Can someone say amen?
Amen.
You have to understand Christ. You will be unified, and you, even though that you are a member, God still loves you. Even your individual aspects, what makes you you, personality, everything about you is going to make you an important member in the body of Christ. Can someone say amen? The guys and you little yous, we are members of a body of Christ, and every member is important. We have a scripture that we're all going to preach from this morning. Pastor, if you would, throw that up for me. We're going to be coming this morning and standing for reading God's Word, if you would. Romans chapter 12, verses 4 and 5. For as in one body we have many members, and the members do not all have the same function. So we, though many, are one body in Christ, and individually members one, here it is, members one of another. Can someone say amen? You may be seated. They're going to give me 10 minutes now, but you me today, okay? You forget I run the mic and I know how to turn the lights off. So you're not too. See, they're trying to handicap me already. Well, what we're going to do, I'm going to get 10 minutes. But we want everybody to obey the Lord this morning. God's moving in the house. For as in one body, many members. You go ahead over there. Keep it up what you're doing. I want to tell you this morning, I want to hop over three different things. The first thing that you're ever going to happen with your walk in Christ is the first thing that you're going to have to write. And we're going to talk about this first. We're going to talk about the me aspect of salvation. What is it when you get saved, Joe? I got saved. That's good that you're getting tied to Christ then. You're going to make a decision that you're going to walk with and you're going to accept everything that Christ has done for you in the full remission of your sins, and you're going to absolutely jump in head over heels in love with Christ. That is great. Love you. Oh, and I love everything about that, and that's what it takes for you to get started in this walk. But here's the funny thing about it. After you're there for a while and you're going to church and stuff, all of a sudden through this maturity thing and through the studying of God's Word, it already hits you. Hey, I'm sitting in the middle of a bunch of people who feel the same way I am. So what we're going to turn from then is we're going to turn from a we, me aspect to a we aspect as we grow in Christ. Amen?
Yes.
Joshua talked about that this morning. Amen. Can somebody give Joshua a hand this morning?
Amen.
For what he does? Pastor came up the window a while ago and I looked at him. We was laughing at him. Kind of. I said, quack, quack. I mean, he's just a duck in water up here. I mean, as far as I'm concerned. But we're going to go from a me aspect of personal salvation, then we're going to graduate to a we aspect. Now, here's where we want to talk for just a second. Because you are designed not only to have an individual salvation with the Lord, but you are made and meant to operate in the body of Christ. And your next step is to realize that in that walk with Christ, you are to be members of a local church and be involved with all the things that it curtails to. Outreach. You're going to learn to be with your brothers and sisters. You are going to learn this very important latter part of these verses right here. Members one of another. Although you're trusting in Christ, that is great. But that person right next to you who's a member of the body of Christ also, they're going to be very important in your life as well. We've talked, and you're in this small group thing now, and small groups are so important, and we're beginning to see how this whole thing works. I love one thing that the MIP pastor, with the last seminar that we had, he said this one thing. He said, our church is being transformed, and it's happening in this way. He said, we no longer identify as a regular, normal, everyday, what people would consider a church. He said, what we are now, Teddy, he says, we are a church of small groups that just happen to meet on Sunday and worship God. That's how important it is for you to trust in the brother and sister that you're sitting by right now. I don't know how much time I got left, but I'm going to go ahead and jump on to the next point. We've talked about the me. We've talked about the we, those brothers that locally you are sitting in now. And we're going to talk about the last thing that I want to bring up. It goes one step further as mature you get in Christ. What are you going to find out now? You're going to find out that it's not only a local thing, but it's a worldwide thing. If you guys could put that last slide up for me. And I'm getting ready to hush. I'm getting ready to hand this off to Brother Ray. I take great pride in this right here. You know why? Because I'm right in the middle of that. We see all the time on Facebook, everybody's proud of this. We're in this club. And we do this, and we go here, and we do this, and we're on this team right here. But I'm going to tell you right now, I trust in God. And I trust in Christ and what the part team that I'm part of, the thing that I am most proud of and will ever be, because that's where life is that I am part of the body of Christ. Amen? Now let me croak from my own palm just for a second. Pastor says, worldwide Church of God statistics for 2024. The Church of God based in Cleveland, Tennessee is a church of 9.2 million members. 47,000 churches in 197 countries. Can someone put their hands together for that? if that's not a Romans 12, verse 4 and 5 scripture, I don't know what it is. Because in this right here, we see one thing. What Christ will do if we'll stay unified with Him and be in the unity that He deserves and calls for us to be. Amen? But just like Josh said, and I'm going to leave you with this. It's time for us to put this denomination thing. Because what I want to leave you with today is don't get hung up in a denomination. Although it's great, and although it's wonderful, and although that God moves and He leads and He guides and directs each and every individual member of the body of Christ, even though He does all these things, we still cannot get caught up in denomination. Why? Because our community is of different denominations, isn't it? I'm so sick of this denomination stuff. We have to put that by. Our unity revival in November, make plans to attend. Let's fill these church houses up. We're not going to worry about parking spot, and we're not going to worry about anything else. As Ray comes for you, let me leave you with this one thing. Christ, the head, we the members, joined in unity. Amen. Anybody here, Brother Ray?
Amen. We are all created in the image of God. Amen. 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 I had shows diversity, so Ted, this might be a little different. Amen. That actually came out a little bit funnier when I thought about it at the house. The verse is a little different. We all are, again, created in the image of God, but we all have different jobs. Amen. And I was thinking last night as I was studying, Pastor, that, we all have two hands. It's the mirror image. It's the same body part, but there's different functions. Amen. And that's how we've got to look at the body of Christ. We're all the same, but we have different functions, Brother Pat. We've got to learn to go out into our calling and do as we... You can't hear me. Why can't you turn me up? I don't think I can do that. Amen. Amen. They'll kick me out of the church if I do that. Amen. Can you hear me back there now? All right. Sorry. Again, we're talking about diversity and being a little different. As you'll see today, we've got five different preachers up here. We're all doing the same thing. We're all spreading the word of God. We're doing it in a different way, Brother Ted. Some of us hack, some of us run, some of us scream, some of us have to be, somebody has to come up and tell us, hey, speak up, we can't hear you in the back, all right? we're all a little different again. We all got to step out, and, I was thinking again, we're mirrored image in one another. My right hand can't do what my left can, and my left can't do what my right can. But, and we've all got different jobs, and, we've all got the same job, Brother Pat, and I was thinking that, to be together in unity doing the same job, we can't look down on somebody for doing the job that we think's not as good as what we have done it. Amen. We can't gain anything if we're putting someone down. We can't grow if we're holding someone down. Nobody wins in that situation. Amen. So we have got to learn to come together, one mind and one accord, just like the day of Pentecost. We've got to lift him up. We've got to lift each other up to glorify him, Brother Terry. We can't sit around and mope and groan because, this one's doing that one, and I'm not doing that. It's our fault that we don't get out and do things for God. He's called us all not to come down here to sit on our hands, but to get up and raise our hands, amen. We can't go around all the time with the woe is me attitude that I'm not doing anything, I'm not growing as much as they are. It's your own fault if you're not growing as much as they are, amen. You've got to come together, one mind, one accord, amen. We're all part of this body of Christ. He created us in his image to glorify him, Brother Pat. Brother Josh mentioned, we're all at one cloud of dust. Amen. I like that thought. He said that this morning. I've never thought about that, but we are all that one cloud of dust that he breathed the breath of life into. Amen. Amen. I won't be very long this morning. I want to give Brother Pat about an extra 10 or 15 minutes, at the end, because I know he's going last. But I'm not going to be very long, but, if I could go ahead and get the pastor to come up for a minute, I would like to share something, though. I thought about this also last night. The pastor, he is the heart of this church. Amen. Just in this, for this illustration I have, he loves the church. He nurtures the church. He helps the church grow, and it's in him. He provides for us, amen, if we'll soak in what he's given us, amen. We've got to really just listen, amen, because this is our leader. This is our heart right here, and the heart pumps into every vein and organ around, and that's what we are. We are the veins and the organs. And can't none of us do anything, Brother Pat, without a heartbeat, amen. We can't do anything without a heartbeat. And today, I want to leave you with one thing, all right? It's an old saying, Brother Pat, follow your heart, amen, wherever God is leading this man. You follow him because God's not going to steer him wrong. Amen. You follow him. And one more thought. It's said in weddings. I know it's said in weddings. What God hath joined together. Amen. Let no man put asunder. Amen. And that's the unity. That's the body of Christ. God has put us together. Amen. Amen.
Good job, brother. Amen. Appreciate the good words so far, and I'm going to sort of tie this thing together. I think I had the idea of inclusion when it comes to the body of Christ, and man, we could talk about that seven ways from Sunday. And you, as you can see, this is my old Bible that is falling apart. Well, I don't know. Kelly thinks I'm falling apart. So, but I enjoy this sort of thing as much as anything. And I'm at the point probably in my walk with the Lord that I enjoy doing this and helping raise up other leaders and speakers, and really enjoy the unity thing. And when we got to go to Claypool last time, I know Tim came up to Kelly after it's all over with, and he said, "Man, you can tell Sean absolutely loves this unity thing and getting out and being with other churches." And I do, because it's my heart. And so I wanted to talk to you a little bit about the idea of inclusion, which is not only us as a church, but also other churches down the road. And the fact of the matter that we're all on the same team, pulling for the same thing, going in the same direction, and that's what God has called us to be. And I wanted to back up just a minute, and I don't know if Dave can throw this up on the screen or not. I didn't forewarn him about this because I really didn't know I was going to do this, but I want to back up to chapter 12 in the book of Romans here, verse 1, before we get to verses 4 and 5, and it says, "Wherefore, seeing we are compassed about..." We're in Romans 12, aren't we? Lord have mercy. Romans chapter 12 here. You can tell it's been one of those mornings. My apologies. Romans chapter 12 this morning. He says, "I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. For I say, through the grace given unto me, to everyone that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, according as God has dealt to every man the measure of faith. For as Dave read earlier, for as we have members one in one body, all members have not the same office. So we, being many, are one body in Christ, and every one members one of another." I want to tie into the idea that when we come to this place in the book of Romans that tells us to lay aside ourselves and to sort of present ourselves as a sacrifice, and then understand in doing so, we can't think more highly of ourselves than what we ought to. He rolls right into this idea, because we are members one with another in one body. And if you go back into the book of Romans here that we've been into on Wednesday night, he brings us all to this conclusion after chapter 1 that we've all sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. So we're all one body simply because we all started in the same place. We were all lost and undone without the Lord, and we all needed his grace and mercy to become part of the body of Christ. And so there's no difference between us. And he says this: if you're going to present your bodies as that living sacrifice, number one is you can't think more highly of yourself than what you ought to. In other words, you've got to be humble and understand that it's not always about you. A day is not always going to go your way. Sometimes you have to prefer somebody else before yourself. And then he goes on to say, because you're members one together in one body. And my part this morning was inclusion and making everybody understand that no matter who you are, where you came from, what your background is, that you can look around and tell this morning that I enjoy that as much as anything. When I ask how many was born and raised Church of God here, there's very few that would raise their hands. And as Dave said, it's a poor frog that can't croak for your own pond. And I croak for my own pond. I believe in the Church of God. If there was something better, I would be in it. But at the same time, it's the avenue that God has given me to present the gospel. And I honor every church that has their own avenue. As long as they're presenting the gospel, we should all come together, not only in a local church such as this, but churches one with another, and understand that we are all one member of a body. Amen. Give the Lord a hand clap of praise. And in that, there's no little eyes and big, or big eyes and little U's, or however it is they say it. We are all members one together of a body, and we need each other. And as the pastor, I would tell you this: Those guys that are coming up here today, the guys that are coming by the house this evening, all those that are being raised up to minister and do work in the Lord, I need those individuals in my life. I need each and every one of you in the worship service when we come together on Sunday morning. You just don't realize how much it does my heart good to see everybody coming and gathering together and worshiping God in one place and putting aside other things. The world is so divided with politics and this and that and this done this and blah, blah, blah. It is so good to see people come together and to worship God, because when God looks down, he doesn't see a bunch of individual churches. He sees one body worshiping him. Amen. So I'm going to let Ted now. We're going to tag Ted in here. He's going to come and we're going to give it to you.
Hallelujah. I ain't even going to bring no Bible up, my iPad up. I'm just going to get straight to it. Tara told me, when I told her about this, she said, listen, said, that's 10 minutes, Ted. Said, you can talk about macaroni and cheese for 10 minutes, so speed it up. So the point being is I'm going to take my wife's advice, and she's back in the nursery today, but as Pastor said, you know, it's about unity, but the thing about unity is it's important to also understand that no one in here is alone. God did never intend you to walk alone by yourself and be self-sufficient. So in other words, as I'm going to start preaching, Pat, you better be ready, okay? Because I'm going to tag out probably not quickly, but I'm going to tag out forcefully, okay? But the point of it is this. As I've been studying this week, God's put a lot of things on my heart, but the scripture that he brought up to me just a couple of days ago is the one I want to go on a little bit, Brother Joe, is this. The Bible tells us in the book of Mark, chapter 2, that there's a man who's had a pretty bad situation. And the Bible says he's paralyzed. He can't get around by himself, Brother Terry. So in other words, he's relying upon everybody else to do things for him. The Bible says, I pretty well believe he was probably born this way, Brother Joe. But in other words, he couldn't do for himself. He had no way to earn any money. And back in those days, there was no Social Security or nothing like that. So that kind of tells me, Vicky, as they did in the book of Acts, the Bible tells a situation where they would take the man and they would put him by the temple. And he would need alms from people to survive. So that's probably this guy's very existence. But the Bible says that there was a great gathering in Capernaum. Why? Because Jesus was there. And can I tell you something about Jesus? He wasn't there healing folks, Terry. When you read that scripture, he didn't come there to heal people. The Bible says the whole place began to fill up so that you couldn't get through the doors. Why? Because he was healing nobody? No, it wasn't because he was healing people. It was because he was preaching to them. You think about that. He was preaching and people wanted to be where Jesus was. If you're here today and you don't know Jesus, you're here and preaching. You want to be here because Jesus is here. And the Bible said that they brought this man, four of his friends. I got to believe, Leanne, there were four individuals that really cared for him. And they probably thought to themselves, you know what? If we can get the old boy there, maybe Jesus can do something for him, like we're hearing that he's doing for everybody else. But when they got there, the Bible tells us they can't get through the door. They can't come through the windows. But Jesus is in there, and we've got to get him to Jesus. We got to get his attention. And the Bible says that they take him, Bo, up to the roof, and they begin to peel the roof off the place. As they do so, I can imagine everybody in the place has to begin to hear the roof being messed with. Maybe all of a sudden they stop. Maybe Jesus stops and they begin looking up. Ain't that something? When we're all alone, when we're having a hard time, God says we need to look up, Jeremy. Why? Because that's where our help lies from. And the Bible says they begin to peel those tiles off. And you know what? I've got to get the man in need to the man indeed. How about that? Hallelujah. The Bible says they begin to lower him where Jesus was. And why? Because he's preaching the gospel. You didn't come here for a healing. You come here because Jesus was here. And guess what? Where Jesus is at, I want to be there too. Amen. Hallelujah. The Bible says they peel it off, Lexi, and they lower him to it. And Jesus, who loves people, Vicky, with an everlasting love, I believe he's moved with compassion, Brother Joe. And Jesus looks at him and don't tell him to rise up and walk. He says, your sins are forgiven. I got to wonder what his friends thought. Well, Lord, he can't walk. Jesus recognized it didn't matter what was wrong with the physical situation. the greater problem is he was lost and he was undone and he was covered in sin. And the first thing Jesus done before he fixed his life was fix his soul. I'm here to tell you right now, if you're looking for God to fix your life, it don't work like that. Let him fix your soul first. Let me tell you something. Let him catch the fish and then he'll clean it up. Amen? And the Bible said, Jesus, perceiving the scribes complaining, Terry, who is this man that thinks he can forgive sin? Who is this old fella? Old Pharisees and scribes, the one that's just thorn in his side all the time. Who is he to be able to forgive? Who's he think he is, Pat? Jesus, knowing what they said that so that you'll know the Son of Man has power to forgive sin, I say to you, rise. And guess what? If he was of the devil, he wouldn't have got up. But because Jesus is who he is, he forgave that man's sin and he healed his body. And why? Because he had some friends that knew who to take him to. I'm here to tell you right now, you're not supposed to walk alone. You've never been meant to be in that valley by yourself. God wants you to know right now, without a shadow of a doubt, you've got some friends here at this church that are willing to carry you to Jesus. If you need help, you holler at us. Holler at pastor, holler at the elders, holler at somebody you know. But God wants you to know, you were never intended to walk alone. You and you alone matter to Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. And why? Why? Because you know what, Lisa? If you hurt, I'm supposed to hurt. And if I hurt, you're supposed to hurt. Why do we do those things? Because Jesus is the supreme example of that. He that knew no sin became sin so that we could become the righteousness of God. Do you understand, everybody that's standing here today, you're here because of what Jesus done. You're here because of how much he loved you. I'm here to tell you right now, he didn't deserve to be beat Joe. He didn't deserve to go to a rugged cross. He didn't deserve the cat of nine tails scraping the hide off his back. He let them do that because he let them nail him to a cross, because he let them crucify him, because he let them put him in a grave, because he let them do these things. God said, because you let them do that, I'm going to give you a name above all names. I'm going to give you a place at my right hand. I'm going to give you authority and power because you let them do this. I'm going to give you all power and authority. And because he did that, let me tell you something. Let Jesus give you eternal life. Think about that. He let them, and God gave him. He let you be here today. He'll give you what you need. Amen? It's so good. And the good thing about what Jesus does, get ready, man. Good thing about what Jesus does, if you're in him, if you're really in him, I'm going to piggyback off of what Josh said here. If you're not sinning every day, doing things you ain't supposed to do, and you're really in him, then guess what? Going to grow up. You're going to mature. You hear us talk about growth all the time. You know what I mean? Can I tell you something? The good thing about growth that we never talk about, Paige? When you grow up, quit acting like a baby. Quit acting like a child. So in other words, how are we going to achieve unity? It's for us to realize I'm not on this path by myself. I'm not alone. But you know what, Brother Terry? It's for me also to know that because he lives in me, I'm going to mature and I'm going to grow up, and anything that's not in unity is not of God. So when something happens and someone offends me, or someone says something, or whatever the situation is, Pastor, I'm going to refuse to be offended. Why? Because you know what? One of these days, my mess is going to be a message. My test is going to be a testimony. I'm here to tell you right now, God loves you. He wants you to know you're not alone. He died on a cross for you. And one day after a while, hallelujah, he's coming back for everybody whose name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life.
Amen, amen, amen. I get to wrap up this and follow after that, I guess. But today is my message is purpose. Purpose in the church. What is the purpose of the church? What does structure in the church look like? It looks like that Jesus said, if I be lifted up, Paige, I'll draw all men unto myself. The purpose of the church is to not look like the church. The purpose of the church is to look like Him. The purpose of the church is that we lift Jesus up. We get out of the way of us. We get out of the way of religion. We get out of the way of Him. And let the Spirit of God come through those doors like a mighty rushing wind. Amen. Things are changed when Jesus is lifted up. Houses are restored when Jesus is lifted up. Schoolhouses are changed when Jesus is lifted up. Children's lives are changed when Jesus is lifted up. So what is the purpose of the church? Jesus told the disciples to love God with all your heart, all your soul, and all your mind. And love your neighbor as yourself. That is the purpose of the church of Jesus Christ, is to love God. Because if you love God with all your heart, your soul, and mind, guess what? You're going to love your neighbor as yourself. Amen. You're going to love the drug addict who's walking down the road, who's lost their way, who's lost their purpose. You're going to get out of the way of yourself, and you're not going to see what makes you comfortable. You're going to see that they need Jesus more than ever. And the only Bible that they're going to read is you. How you act, how you speak. And like Josh said this morning, when you leave this church house and you go eat and you're the rudest person that that waitress has encountered that day, guess what? You're not in Jesus Christ. You need to repent. We need to repent of those things that hinder us to look like Him. I wasn't born again to look like me, Terry. Amen. To be born again is to look like something else, and it's to look like Him. Amen. To have His image. To walk like Christ. To talk like Christ. To look like Christ. That my sins have been buried with Him. That's why Jesus told Nicodemus that you have to be born of the water and of the Spirit. And those things change in your life. To be born again is to look different. Look different, church. That's the purpose, is to look like our Savior. Amen. He wants to save souls. He wants to restore families. He wants to take those things that haunt you, like depression, anxiety, which is not of God. Amen. You let the devil rule. You let the devil get in your ear. Yes, you let the devil tell you where you belong and what you belong to. And you belong to Jesus Christ, nothing else. If you're covered by the blood, you have purpose. You have a purpose to show the lost and dying world Him, not you. Get out of His way, church, and let Him do what He needs to do. We make this walk about us. We make this walk about who's up here. Why ain't I getting to do this? Why ain't I getting to do that? What about Jesus? You're supposed to be representing a Savior. If there's a church and a body of believers who's fighting amongst each other, oh, he's Baptist. He goes to Pentecostal. Oh, he's Methodist. That stuff is from the pits of hell, and I don't care to say it.
If I never get to speak again, I'll say it from those mountaintops. We are one. One body of one believer serving one God and one Savior. There's only been one who's went into death's grave, come back victorious for you and I. There's no denomination going to save you, but there's only one, and his name is Jesus Christ. And him only. All that stuff has got to go out of the house of God. And let Jesus come back. Let God come back and do what he needs to do in his house. This building don't belong to Maori Church of God. This building belongs to him.
Amen.
And him alone. And I'll say it till the day I die, that Jesus Christ needs to be lifted up.
Yes.
Church, I went to the high school. I didn't do nothing special. There ain't nothing special about me. Nothing. Zero. The gospel is not about me. Those kids, a simple gospel. You tell them Jesus loves them. You tell them Jesus desires relationship with them. Guess what? They came. Voluntarily they came. They're searching. The younger generation revival is going to start in those kids. These kids right here, you want to know why? Because we've been so full of ourselves that we won't let Jesus through the door, and they will. They're looking for something that's genuine, that is real, that's out of the way and not about themselves. And that's the purpose of the church. The church is going to rise in these kids. Whether you want it to happen or not, you can get rid of your old denominational ways and let Jesus Christ rule and reign. His purpose, his will. And that is the purpose of the church, is to look like him. Take upon his image. His image, church.
Amen.
I know I'm probably out of time, but oh well. Ray's right. Give me 20 minutes, 30. If you don't care to stand. Dave, give me something a little soft, please. We're wrapping up. This is your moment. This is holy.
I'll never be more loved.
And I want your heads bowed in holy reference to God.
Wasn't holding you up.
Because if it's not about you, you're not looking around.
Do to let you down.
Who needs more?
Does it take control?
Who needs to be filled?
To
who's lost? And don't know Jesus as his personal Savior.
That I am right now.
Listen, I was there. I'm nothing holy. He pulled me up out of the muck. He pulled me out of the mud. And if he can do it for me, he can do it for you. That's the whole purpose of the church, is to have relationship with our Creator. Have relationship with Jesus. And if you're here, lost and undone, now's your opportunity. While nobody's looking around, raise your hand. Say, preacher, I'm lost, or I'm not where I used to be. I fell away. I don't have the relationship that I used to have with God. I've pursued the world more than I've pursued relationship with him. If that's you, raise your hand. It's between you and God. Thank you for that hand. Thank you for that hand. Thank you for that hand. So now we're going to put faith behind your action. So if you raised your hand, knowing where you stand with God, there's no judgment in the house of the Lord. Love. Love should be our anthem. Love is what we should look like. Loving those who are lost. Loving those who need him. Because we know what he's done for us. Love. If I love you enough to say, if you're wanting to come and pray, please come and pray. You feel like you're not where you used to be or should be, please come and pray. As the prayer team comes up, there's going to be people here to meet you at the altar. There's going to be people here to encounter you, to love on you, to show you the love of Christ. Do you need Jesus?
this. Just don't make me. It's stronger. Step out in faith. It takes a strong man or strong woman to step out and say, I'm broken. I need a Savior. But guess what? That's what I had to do. I was broken. I was below the mud. Guess what? His hand reached down and he grabbed me. If he can restore me, he can restore anybody. And that is the purpose of the church, is to have relationship with Jesus Christ. It looks like that. If you're broken, please come. If you're lost and undone, please come. Know this Jesus. He wants to restore you, to give you a hope, to give you a purpose, to give you life and life more abundantly. He can restore what is broken in you. You've tried to do everything for yourself. And we've been taught that at a young age. You be a man. Well, be a man. Be a man and lead your family to Jesus Christ. Be a man and walk out in faith. Be that wife who says, if he won't, I will. I'll step out in faith. I'll lead my family if nobody else will. Be that person who wants Jesus more than they want anything else. Come, as we tarry just a little bit longer. Opportunity. Opportunity's knocking on your door. Opportunity's knocking for you. You feel it. You know it. There's conviction on your heart to move. Feel like your feet's in concrete. Like you can't even lift your feet, holding onto the back of that seat like you can break it in half. Come and find freedom in Christ. I'll pray with you. I'll pray with you. Come know this Jesus that we talked about this morning. He is the founder and the father of our faith. He is the institution of the church. It's not what you've been taught that you're. Come and let Jesus love on you. Love conquers all things. A love that passes all understanding. Your sin, you'll have to answer for one day. Your sin, we're either going to go to heaven or we're going to go to hell. It's a reality, harsh reality. But praise be to God that Jesus Christ come to give us opportunity to not go to hell, because it wasn't designed for us in the beginning anyway. That we separated ourselves from God in the garden with sin. But you can restore that right now with Jesus. Are you going to still sit there like you don't have nothing wrong? Thank you, Lord. Stuff going on in your life that you need purpose, you need joy again, you need love, you need to feel joy. And you can only find those things in Him. I promise, I've searched and searched and searched and chased it, and never found my purpose until I found Christ. I tried to find it in many things that the world told me to find it in. But I could never find that true peace until I had relationship with the one who created me and you. Purpose. You need to come and pray. Please come and pray.